It's time. You're listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air. This ongoing series brings to your ears the best-known works from America's revered grandfather of horror and suspense. I'm Alex Zavistovich. This is a special Valentine's Day installment of Poe Theater on the Air, featuring Valentine's Day and love poems from Poe, and a lesser-known poem to Poe from his wife. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you that May 16th and 17th is the 5th annual Doomsday Nonstop Reading Marathon of the works of Edgar Allan Poe. More information can be found on our website at poetheater.org. If you'd like to volunteer to read for this 24-hour live stream event, please reach us at poetheater.org. We begin this Valentine's Day special with a real treat. British actor and presenter Helen Atkinson Wood is back. Famous for originating the role of Mrs. Miggins on BBC's Blackadder, Ms. Wood can be heard on previous episodes of Poe Theater on the Air reciting The Bells and Shadow, a Parable. We're grateful to have her back, and we hope you enjoy her readings of the poems A Valentine and To Helen. And now, Helen Atkinson Wood.
A Valentine. For her, this rhyme is penned, whose luminous eyes, brightly expressive as the twins of Leda, shall find her own sweet name that nestling lies upon the page, enwrapped from every reader. Search narrowly the lines, they hold a treasure divine, a talisman, an amulet, that must be worn at heart. Search well the measure, the words, the syllables. Do not forget the trivialest point, or you may lose your labour. And yet there is in this no Gordian knot, which one might not undo without a sabre, if one could merely comprehend the plot. In written upon the leaf, where now appearing eyes scintillating soul, there lies perdu three eloquent words, oft uttered in the hearing of poets, by poets, as the name is a poet's too, its letters, although naturally lying, like the knight Pinto Mendes Ferdinando, still form a synonym for truth. Cease trying. You will not read the riddle, though you do the best you can do. To Helen. Helen, thy beauty is to me like those Nicaean barks of yore, that gently o'er a perfumed sea the weary, way-worn wanderer bore to his own native shore. On desperate seas long wont to roam, thy hyacinth hair, thy classic face, thy naiad airs have brought me home to the glory that was Greece, and the grandeur that was Rome. Lo, in yon brilliant window niche, how statue-like I see thee stand, the agate lamp within thy hand. Ah, Psyche, from the regions which are holy land.
Edgar Allan Poe wrote two poems by the name To Helen. This second one was believed to have been written for Sarah Helen Whitman, one of Poe's fiancées toward the end of his life. To Helen. I saw thee once only, Years ago, I must not say how many, but not many. It was a July midnight, and from out a full-orbed moon that, like thine own soul soaring, sought a precipitant pathway up through heaven, there fell a silvery silken veil of light, with quietude, and sultriness, and slumber, upon the faces of a thousand upturned roses that grew in an enchanted garden where no wind dared to stir unless on tiptoe. Fell on the upturned faces of these roses that gave out, in return for the love light, their odorous souls in an ecstatic death. Fell on the upturned faces of these roses that smiled and died in this parterre, enchanted by thee and by the poetry of thy presence. Clad all in white, upon a violet bank I saw thee, half reclining, while the moon fell on the upturned faces of the roses and on thine own upturned, alas, in sorrow. Was it not fate that on this July midnight, was it not fate, whose name is also sorrow, that bade me pause before the garden gate to breathe the incense of those slumbering roses? No footstep stirred. The hated world all slept, save only thee and me. I paused, I looked, and in an instant all things disappeared. Ah, bear in mind, this garden was enchanted. The pearly luster of the moon went out, the mossy banks and the meandering paths, the happy flowers and the repining trees were seen no more. The very roses' odors died in the arms of the adoring airs. All expired save thee, save less than thou, save only the divine light in thine eyes, save but the soul in thine uplifted eyes. I saw but them, they were the world to me. I saw but them, saw only them for hours, saw only them until the moon went down. What wild heart histories seemed to lie enwritten upon those crystalline celestial spheres. How dark a woe, yet how sublime a hope. How silently serene a sea of pride, how daring an ambition, yet how deep, how fathomless a capacity for love. But now, at length, dear Dian sank from sight into a western couch of thundercloud, and thou, a ghost, amid the entombing trees didst glide away. Only thine eyes remained. They would not go. They never yet have gone. Lighting my lonely pathway home that night, they have not left me as my hopes have since. They follow me. They lead me through the years. They are my ministers, yet I their slave. Their office is to illumine and enkindle, my duty to be saved by their bright light and purified in their electric fire, and sanctified in their Elysian fire. They fill my soul with beauty, which is hope, and are far up in heaven the stars I kneel to in the sad, silent watches of my night, while even in the meridian glare of day, I still see them. Two sweetly scintillant Venuses, unextinguished by the sun. Annabel Lee. It was many and many a year ago, in a kingdom by the sea, that a maiden there lived, whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden, she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. I was a child and she was a child in this kingdom by the sea, but we loved with a love that was more than love. I and my Annabel Lee, with a love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. And this was the reason that long ago in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of a cloud, chilling my beautiful Annabel Lee. So that her highborn kinsmen came and bore her away from me, to shut her up in a sepulchre in this kingdom by the sea.
the angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know, in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of the cloud by night, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than we, of many far wiser than we. And neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can ever dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And so, all the night tide, I lie down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride, in the sepulchre there by the sea, in her tomb by the sounding sea.
Not known for her poetry or writing, Edgar Allan Poe's wife, Virginia Clemm Poe, wrote a Valentine's Day poem for her husband on February 14, 1846. She died less than a year later at the age of 24. This Valentine's Day poem was written as an acrostic, with the first letter in each line spelling the name Edgar Allan Poe. And now, a Valentine from V.C. Poe to E.A. Poe. Ever with thee I wish to roam. Dearest, my life is thine. Give me a cottage for my home and a rich old cypress vine. Removed from the world with its sin and care and the tattling of many tongues, love alone shall guide us when we are there. Love shall heal my weakened lungs. And oh, the tranquil hours we'll spend, never wishing that others may see. Perfect ease we'll enjoy, without thinking to lend ourselves to the world and its glee. Ever peaceful and blissful we'll be. You've been listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater's Poe Theater on the Air and our special Valentine's Day collection of love poems and Valentine's poems written by Poe and Poe's wife, Virginia Clemm Poe. Special thanks to our guest reader Helen Atkinson Wood for her contributions, and thank you as always to National Public Radio and WYPR. For the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater, this is Alex Zavistovich reminding you that all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream.